Welcome back to Where You're At. In this episode, I'm talking with Anaya Jones. She currently works as an ESPN Next coordinator, and she is a proud Chicago native, making her mark in sports media. We talk about what it's like stepping into more of a male-dominated industry and how community and mentorship have shaped her journey along the way. From starting her own podcast during the pandemic to now working behind the scenes at one of the biggest sports networks in the world, Anaya's story is a reminder that the path to success doesn't have to be linear. It just has to be yours. Hey, Anaya.
What's up?
Welcome to my Where You At podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You were someone that was, you know, right on the front of my mind when I was like thinking and making my list of guests. And I was like, I got to reach out to Anaya. ESPN. I know she's doing great things. And, you know, you're just so... Your energy is just so contagious, and I knew you'd be the perfect guest to have on here. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
So how have you been doing? I mean, I know you're in Connecticut, right?
I'm in Connecticut, Bristol, Connecticut. Yep.
Which and how has that been?
Far from home. yeah. Not a big city like Chicago. It's different for sure, but it's not my first time not being in a big city, right? So undergrad was in Southern Illinois, which is just a college town. So the transition was interesting. I think the biggest thing for me is like having community here. That's really, really important. So when I kind of established my community, then I was like, okay, I'm feeling a little better. I got things to do outside of work. Work is not consuming me. So it's fine. And it's on the East Coast. And you know, East Coast is probably the only place you can go that is so close to so many places, New York, Philly, et cetera. So I've just kind of been taking advantage of the fact that I'm kind of close to a lot of stuff. So I've been traveling a little bit.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, I'm still kind of, I'm Midwest, East Coast. I'm in Buffalo, so I'm not far from New York City, but I'm far enough, but it's not like, you know, location. But I'm still close enough to people and kind of like my own community that I can, you know, I can get to my family. I can get to some of my closer friends and everything.
Exactly.
So I'm not too isolated from everyone, which is nice. But I know you, I mean, being a Chicago girl through and through, you born and raised on the west side of Chicago, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But I also know being away from home is nothing new to you. You got away for school. You've gotten away for different internships, different experiences. Mm-hmm. But was it hard to finally leave and be like, I mean, starting career?
Yeah, I think it wasn't about being away. The transition wasn't about being away because, like you said, I'm so used to it. Like, I used to joke in undergrad every single summer I had an internship. So I was always away during the summer, whether that was Oregon, whether that was going to Philly and New Jersey, like there was always something in Bristol when we were in grad school. So the transition was never being too far from people. I think the biggest thing for me was having something to look forward to. I think that's really important in life outside of work and outside of the serious things. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go make sure I see my family. And this holiday, let me schedule this. And maybe I'll go to New York this weekend and see a friend. And maybe I'll go to Montreal here. And just having things to look forward to, I think, was important. So it wasn't necessarily being away. It was finding my community in a new place. Every other place that I've been to for an extended period of time, right? I knew it was for an internship. It was for 2 to 3 months, and I was going back home.
You were out of there, right?
Right? And I was like, okay, this is not 2 to 3 months. I'm not going back home. This is home. And so for me, I'm so used to coming back to Chicago. A lot of people who went to U of I were people who were from Chicago, so my friends were always in close proximity to me. And now nobody's in close proximity, and I have to find these new people and balance relationships with, hey, is this a work acquaintance? Is this a friend outside of work? How do you balance those
things? There's a difference.
There's a difference. There's a huge difference. And then what do I like to do? Okay, I like hot yoga. I like working out. Let me find a gym. Okay, I like doing these things. Let me find a run club. So for me, it was
the
just
hobbies.
Kind of like hobbies, rebuilding my life all over again. And I'm still trying to find the hobbies, right? Like, I'm still doing that. And I'm coming up on a year this month. So it's a transition. But it wasn't about being away. It was just about knowing that there was no going back immediately and coping with that, and then figuring out how do I make the best of like the permanent home here. Makes sense.
I completely get that. That's how I've been here in Buffalo. It's not like I'm on a 3-year contract. There's no going back home like in between or in the seasons or, you know, on a Christmas break and stuff. It's like I need to find the people I want to be around, the things I like to do, the spaces I want to be in when I'm not, you know, working my 9 to 5. So I completely relate to you on that. But I know obviously we spent oh my gosh, a year to get. Isn't it crazy how fast time is going? I mean, the fact that we're out of Medill. Yeah. So we spent our year at Medill together, Northwestern's master's program. That was so much fun. I met, I mean, the network, the community that I just, we built there just in that 1 year, I know that's going to be everlasting. And I was so thankful that you were one of those people that, you know, I met along the way.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's, time flies. I'm like, how am I coming up on 1 year of just being at this company? Like, this is not even including grad school. And then I think, like, I graduated undergrad in 2023. I'm like, it's been 2 years since undergrad. Right. Time is... Time is going by too quick, which I think it makes you see in hindsight, okay, if this year goes by this quick, I need to make sure I take a vacation. I need to make sure I keep
that PTO time.
I need to make sure I nurture those relationships because it goes by so quickly. And then you look back and you're like, what did I do this year? And I always kind of want to make sure, like, I look back at the year and say, I did a lot this year. I traveled. I see my people. I did well at work. I took care of me. Like, I want to make sure I'm balancing all of those things. So the older you get, the more you realize time goes by so quickly and it's so finite. And so I think I'm trying to make the best of those moments right now.
Yeah, I hear you. I just hit my 1 year in September. So I've been in Buffalo for a year.
Congrats to you.
Going on. Yeah, year two. Thank you. Thank you. but for those of you who, you know, or for those of them out there that don't know you, tell us a little bit about where you went to school, what you studied, and we'll start there.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll try to make the long story short. So grew up in Chicago, born and raised on the west side of Chicago to a single mother. I knew and when I was in high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I loved sports. I was an athlete growing up. I knew I wanted to work in sports. And then I started Googling, like, is it an agent? Is it this? Is it marketing? I had no idea. But I knew that was the foundation of where I wanted to take my career. And so I just kind of let that traject me and kind of move me forward. So I wanted to go to Indiana University for undergrad, and I was like a couple thousand short in scholarships. And my mom was like, well, you got a full ride at U of I, so you're going there. And so I was upset about that, but it was a great decision in hindsight. So I went to the University of Illinois, and I was admitted into the business school. And I was looking at their majors, and they had finance and marketing and supply chain and accounting. And I was like, I don't care about accounting. I don't care about finance. Like, all this stuff just sounds really boring to me. And they had like the lead professors present during the time and to let us know what each major was about. And there was a professor to this day who I keep in touch with. His name was Mark Walters. And he was the most captivating. He had the most energy. I'm an energetic person. And I was like, okay, whatever he's doing, that's what I'm doing. And that turned out to be a marketing major. So from that moment forward, I was like, hey, I'm going to be a marketing major. And I did that, and I minored in sports management in undergrad.
Okay.
And a little bit along the way, I was like, I'm going to do marketing. I'm going to take this business-y route. I have to figure out how it goes into sports. And COVID hit. And when COVID hit, I was like, okay, I didn't realize how many other people wanted to work in sports. I didn't realize how much of a saturated market it was. And I was like, all right. If this many people want to work in sports, I have to figure out a way to make Anaya Jones different from all of the thousand of applicants and all of the other people I'm competing with. And during COVID, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes started a podcast called All the Smoke. And this is before, like, I Am Athlete. And it was like the first sports podcast. And I would just watch it. Like, I was a consumer. And one day I'm sitting in my bed and I was like, I could do this. Like, I have an opinion. Like, I have conversations with my friends about this. I think I can be informative. And during this time, too, there was like this big narrative around women in sports and how people underestimate them, et cetera. And I wanted to make sure that whatever table I got the opportunity to sit at, people would know that not only was I able to present myself, I could network. People don't turn down an opportunity to talk about themselves. That's like me telling you no for this podcast right now. I'm not going to say that, you know? And I knew that. And I knew that there's so many big people in sports and they probably won't say no if I want to hear about their journey. So that's my way to connect. And I was like, this is the way to show people that I know what I'm talking about. And so I did that. And long story short, the podcast was a masterclass to where I am now. I didn't realize how much I loved interviewing people. I didn't realize how much I loved being in front of the camera. All of the things that encompass media, I wasn't aware of that and that I was passionate. And that taught me that. And so all of my internships moving forward related into media or sports in some way. And by the time senior year came, I was like, okay, I know that I want to work in sports. I also have this business aspect, and I was anchoring on campus. I had the podcast. I have these great internships, but I've never formally been in class for anything journalism related. Nothing. Like, all of this was self-taught. And I wanted to do myself enough justice and respect to respect the craft of journalism, first of all, but to also just make sure that I was as well equipped as possible for what was next. And so I had a friend who went to Northwestern. He was like, you should look into it. I applied. And then that's when I met you and got into that master's program. So that's kind of like the gist of the rundown.
The journey. Yes, I feel like you have a very unique journey considering you kind of went into it not even knowing that journalism is what you'd end up landing on, right?
Yes.
So this marketing kind of focus, sports marketing maybe, not really sure. And then honestly, it kind of took the pandemic for you to explore this other, this media, you know, this media path to start your own podcast, which was huge. Oh my God, I remember during Medill, I'd go back and like, you know, watch what is, You're Wrong, Sir, be like, okay.
Thank you.
Like, who is she? Like, that was so cool that you had already like established so much for yourself, not even being really in journalism. So,
yes.
I mean,
and
that's
a lot of
amazing.
People didn't know that.
Itself.
Like, a lot of people thought, like, I majored in journalism for undergrad. I'm like, yo, I've never a column. What's that? Like, these are things that I'm not familiar with. Like, for me, I was worried about account balances and all of these things with business and finance. And this was just kind of like my side thing that I poured into that I knew I loved and I wanted. And I think it was, that's kind of a testament to the brand I built. But it was really important that people thought that I was in journalism and those were the things that I was doing, because I was in classes with people who are now at Goldman Sachs and everybody was on that trajectory. And I'm probably the only one who worked in sports now. And so I had to really figure out, like, hey, if this is going to be my background and this is what I'm focused on and I have this full ride to this, so I can't get out of business. How do I make sure that every other ounce of time that I have, it can be dedicated to using this and putting it into the journey that I want it to? So that was really important for me. And the podcast was just, it was the vehicle to make that happen.
No, absolutely. But also, you know, taking into account the fact that your background in the marketing, in marketing and sports management, I mean, all of that kind of, you bring a unique perspective to the table that maybe, you know, your counterparts may not have. So it's like really leveraging that and being able to sell yourself and be like, well, what's her niche? What can she focus in on when it comes to the, you know, looking at a wider context, broader context of stuff? Well, there's yours right there that, you know, someone else may not have. So you got to sell yourself there. But speaking of the podcast, I mean, would you ever bring it back?
I won't do any sports. No more sports commentating.
No more
I will
sports.
Not do that. But what I will do, I do want to start a podcast up again. And I'm kind of working on it behind the scenes right now. But kind of like you, real life things, real life conversations, like what actually matters right now.
Right.
And just a space where I think when you get into your 20s, you're unlearning a lot. You're evolving a lot. You're figuring out, like, is this the correct thing to do? Is the way that I was taught? What's important to me? When you're an undergrad, it's like, hey, you go after the job. You do this. You make the most money, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And when you get into the real world, you figure out, like, is this what I actually want to do? And what is what I was taught actually what I want to do? And I think that a lot of us right now are going through that period. So I do have something cooking up, but I want it to be in relation to those conversations.
Oh, I'm excited. I'll be following. Be following. That's definitely something a lot of people. Yes, I would love that. And I feel like it's something so many people can relate to, because like you said, so many of us are in our early 20s, mid-20s. And it's like that, it's such a transitional period of our lives, you know, whether we're just kind of entering the workforce or, you know, we're finishing up maybe one job and getting ready to move on to the next. I feel like, oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. So many people. So I'll be rooting for you there, girl.
Thank you.
But I know you said all of that kind of leading you to where you are now. So tell us a little bit about what it is exactly you're doing with ESPN and what your day-to-day looks like.
Yeah. So another position that wasn't in my cards or anything. I feel like my whole journey is just like unpredictable. So I came when we were in grad school, to give everybody who's listening context, our fourth quarter at Medill, you either had to do a master's project or internship. I was set on a master's project. And I saw this internship, which was the NABJ Stuart Scott production intern in partnership with ESPN. And I was like, just in case something goes wrong with the master's project, I'm going to
back up.
This is my backup, just in case. And a couple months went by. I didn't hear anything. So I was like, all right, I'm focused on the master's project. Got a call, got the internship, and I was a production intern. So I worked in on SportsCenter at night, cutting like highlights, cutting all like video elements, et cetera, that will play on the show. And then they asked me to come back full time. I was like, I don't know if I'm feeling it. I got to see, weigh my options out. And then I decided that this is the best thing for me to do. So when I came back to the company in October of 2024, I was assigned to First Take. So I worked on First Take as a production assistant. So we're making like the best of the week segments.
Yeah, I saw those little highlights you would post.
Yeah, pitching ideas, all of those things for the shows about what we would debate about, and got promoted within like 5 months to a content associate. And that's just kind of like the next level up from a PA. And after that, I went through another period of discovery, and I realized like, okay, production was never something I wanted to do long term in the aspect of day television. And I just started weighing my options. I leaned on a mentor here who is a Black woman who I get a lot of insight from, and I trust her counsel. And I was like, hey, I'm not sure if this is what I want to do. Like, I'm not sure. And we kind of talked about my strengths and weaknesses, et cetera. And I applied to the position I'm in now. So I'm an ESPN Next coordinator. So I'm a coordinator on the Next team. And the Next team is basically the leadership team for all PAs and CAs here. So it's a team of seven of us. And so my responsibility as a coordinator is a mix of a lot, but essentially it's the front-facing person for our new hires in production. So production assistants, content associates, I'm training them. So we just train, develop, and kind of push them to the next level. So all events that are happening, our accelerator programs, planning those, putting those logistics together. A lot of people management, a lot of working with other teams, and a lot of training in incoming employees who are in production. So I'm a people person. It gets me closer to a lot of people, gives me more visibility within the company. It hasn't been that long. It's been like 6 weeks. So this role is super new for me.
Okay, still new.
I've been enjoying it so far. Yeah.
Well, that's good. You know, that's really interesting because your kind of trajectory had you on, you know, these on-camera positions, these on-camera roles, being in front of the camera. And then, newsflash, you take your first role behind the scenes as a production assistant. I mean, obviously, you're with ESPN. You're working on First Take in that first position. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But so for so long, you thought you would be pursuing on-air opportunities, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for what kind of... Yeah, go ahead.
What was the pivot? I'll be very honest. I think, and I'm curious to hear your perspective. I think that people could have been more transparent about the journalism industry when we were in grad school. That's my personal opinion. I think that people could have been more transparent about money. People could have been more transparent just about, like, I think everybody was so focused on, even when we had panels, the storytelling, and it's not amazing, but the stories, and it's not this, but it's, you get to tell the stories. Mm-hmm. And like I said, when you get into the real world and you understand that money moves things and how the world works and what background you come from, et cetera, you have to weigh what options are important to you. And so when I interned here, full transparency, it was the worst summer I've ever had. Worst summer I've had because I was in a period of trying to figure out what was the best thing to do. We had mentors and professors telling us that being behind the scenes in production, that's where you make the decisions. You should do that. Okay. And then I loved being on camera. Okay. But I'm like, ESPN is such a big company to have on my resume. Would I be crazy to turn that down? There were just a lot of things I was weighing. And I had a couple offers from local markets. One of them, it was fine, but I leaned on like our associate dean, et cetera. And they were like, yeah, this is not a great station. And I was like, okay, so I'm getting
upset
from people, right? So I'm like, okay, maybe not there. And I had other offers and to anchor and be an MMJ. And I remember, to me, it was two things. When I thought about being on camera, what did I want to do? It was never to be on the news. It was always to have my own thing. And I think coming from a background where I've had a podcast and I know what it takes to do that and for it to be successful, I was just like, I could do this and be on camera in some capacity, right? And then I can go work at ESPN and make more money than I would be offered as an MMJ in the middle of nowhere. Like, that was me. Yeah. So I was like, okay. And then I tried to negotiate whatever, like, hey, this company's giving me this. Can you guys match? They were like, no. I was like, gotta go. And that was just real.
That's
for
what
me.
It came like, down to. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I come from a single parent household. I knew that I had to buy a new car. I knew that I was going to be somewhere that I'd never been. How can I make sure that I support myself financially, but also not put a burden on my mom? And so I was thinking about those things too. And for me, I was just like, this is a big company. I have to make the decision that makes more money and that's financially smart for me. Mm-hmm. And I can always go back on camera in the capacity I wanted to. I can
start a podcast. Those opportunities will still be there for. They're not going anywhere.
Exactly. And so I always took that into mind and always like, you know, people tell us your first job is never your last. Clearly, that's evident for me. But like, you know, I had to remember that. And so that was just the gist of it. It was kind of a money thing. And grad school did a great job of peeling back the curtain of what being an MMJ was. And I didn't know that I wanted that. And so that summer was really hard for me because I had to sit back. And especially when everybody is like, Anaya, you be amazing on camera. And I'm like, I know. I don't know if I want to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just had to make a sacrifice. And I think my choices into what my full-time role was, and I think a lot of young people should know that it's okay, is that I gave a lot of yeses through gritted teeth. I didn't know if ESPN was the place for me to come. I didn't know that if this was like, if I was 100% sure about what this is what I wanted to do. But I took a risk and I sacrificed and I came here and it's, you know, it's working itself out and I'm learning a lot, but it was like a yes through gritted teeth. And so a lot of people are like, oh my God, you're here. And you did this and now it's so amazing. And it's like, yes, I'm blessed and grateful, but saying yes to this wasn't easy. Coming to the conclusion of, okay, maybe this is the decision I had to make was not an easy decision to make. And just because it's not easy doesn't mean it's not right. It was just a tough decision to make. And it was hard for me to digest that my journey has changed so much. It was like, okay. I was an undergrad and I did finance and accounting and I decided to start this podcast and I've worked 5 years for this. And I'm like, I don't even think what I worked 5 years for I want in that capacity anymore. And that's just a tough pill to swallow. So it was really tough for me, but it just kind of came down to like real life decision making, the weight of what this company can hold for me, the exposure, the visibility. And for me, I thought that it was a better strategic move for my career at that time.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. And then, I mean, you end up where you're supposed to be for a reason, right? So all of those decisions you made, whether they were with the utmost clarity or not, it led you to where you're supposed to be for a reason. And so this may not be, like you said, the first job is never your last. And that's very evident in so many careers. But it's a stepping stone or a vehicle to get you to that next point in your life and your career, you know, along your journey. So I completely get where you're coming from. And in terms of the, you know, what you're saying about financial stability, because in a lot of these, you know, MMJ reporting jobs, a lot, especially in the smaller markets, the money just isn't there. And, you know, you're thinking about setting yourself up for success financially, being able to support yourself and not, you know, having to rely too much on your mom. I mean, you had to, at that point in time, you had to do what was best for you. Yep. And I mean, I know you said you weren't sure at the time, but I'm sure that's become even more clear to you that it was the right decision for you at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's just a hard pill to swallow. And I think that's the tough thing about this transitional period of our 20s and your first job. Yeah. Expectations are high and then real life comes in and you figure out what all things play into a decision. But sometimes things aren't just exactly what you thought they would be. And so the toughest
thing you don't know it a lot of the times until you're in it, until you see it. Yes. And that's hard too.
Yes, yes. And some people are like, hey, now I'm doing this job and I absolutely hate it, you know? But everything's just a learning period. I think that you take so many lessons from each thing that you say yes or no to and why and the decisions that play into it. So I'm grateful. But making the decision was no easy feat. Like, and the first offer I got, I was like content with the offer. And then I'm reaching out to people who, you know, I felt like were wise counsel, especially people in Medill. And they're like, yeah, this doesn't sound, the money's there, but this doesn't sound great. I'm like, okay. So now I'm weighing options and this was just kind of the one that I felt was best. So yeah, crazy little journey of mine.
I'm
still trying to figure out, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's so many people out there that can relate to exactly that, you know, especially if they're finishing school and kind of navigating the job market, which I know is a little rough right now. You know, I feel like so many people, you know, you may go through undergrad and be studying something completely different than what you may be looking for jobs for. And that, yes. I feel like that's not an uncommon thing. So mm-hmm. I know we talked about what was, you know, really what was very difficult for you. But what has been, you know, on the bright side, what has been the most exciting part of this this new job, this new position with ESPN?
Yeah, that's a really good question. In this new position, I think visibility. Visibility is really important. Like I was just in a meeting the other day with our chairman, and that's kind of like our CEO, mm-hmm. and like his executive reports. And I was like the youngest person in the room, and I'm looking around like there is just no way, you know. And I haven't been here a full year, and so to think about the exposure and what I expected to other people and the way I'm learning about the business side of sports and a company is really eye opening and. Learning. I'm learning a lot. So I would say that's really fun. Honestly, in this new role, like journalism, there's a lack of work-life balance sometimes. Here, have a little more time for myself,
there
right?
You go.
Like I have a more stable schedule. I may uh-huh. be working like more of a 9 to 5 hours or 8 to 4 hours instead uh-huh. of 4 a.m. and getting up at 3 a.m. to work on all of the morning shows, you know?
Yeah.
But those are like discovering what's most important to me. For me, I just needed a little more stability. Or for me, I needed a little more sanity. And I think that the good thing is having the balance and the visibility of people that I've been exposed to and being able to learn from and work with. Like the people who I look to as mentors here have been amazing and a huge reason why I've had 2 promotions in less than a year. So I'm really grateful for, I would say, the community and the exposure for sure.
Yeah, I hear you when you talk about that work-life balance, because for me starting out, you know, I'm coming straight from graduate school
yep.
to this my first full-time job, and I'm going to be waking up at 3 a.m.
Yep. Yep.
That it's was tough. A shock for me. It was. Thankfully, now I am on more of the like 9:30 to 6 now. So
okay.
I have a lot more normal schedule. I have so much more of a work-life balance. And not that I didn't have that on the morning, but when you're out of sync with the day and when you're out of sync with all your friends and family,
it's hard.
I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. And it's like, yeah, I got used to it. But I mean, I'm thankful I got that experience, you know, especially coming straight out of school. I got, you know, being the morning reporter, especially, you know, you're doing live shots, repetition, you're getting all this experience. And I'm so thankful for it. But also, once I got switched to the more day side schedule, I realized, oh, this is what I've been missing. So I definitely hear you when you say work-life balance and how important that is, because, oh my gosh, I can't tell you. I felt like it almost felt like a weight was lifted because I didn't realize what I was missing, you know?
Relief. Instant relief.
Mm-hmm. Instant relief. I'm like, I'm scheduling, I'm talking, I'm FaceTiming people at 7. I can stay up till late. Like I was in bed every night by like 7. You know, I'm a very type A routine person.
Yep.
So I was in bed by 7 p.m. Don't call me. If my phone's on D&D, I'm asleep because I got to get my 8 hours of sleep because I'm going to be up at 2:50 in the morning.
Exactly.
So
yeah, no,
I'll talk to you on the weekend.
I used to have to be at work at 3, 4. And I was like, okay, yep. Mm-mm. Like, you know, not that I couldn't do it, but this can't be long term. This can't be long term for me. And
that's
so for me, I think it was identifying like what's good, what do you like,
mm-hmm.
what can you take away from this position and use somewhere else. And then now, if you're not content with this being your forever, how do I mm-hmm. game plan for what my next thing would be?
What and are I, those next? Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear mm-hmm. you. I hear. But I did want to ask, because I feel like when you typically think ESPN, and I know, you know, women's sports and the amount of women working in sports has significantly increased. But within your role and your position and the people, I guess, in your that you work closest with, is it more male dominated or is it more balanced? How has that been? What is that dynamic kind of like?
Yeah, my specific team is pretty balanced. My specific team is pretty balanced. It's actually 3 women and 3 men. Yeah, so we kind of balance each other out really well. It's a diverse team also. I think it just depends on, like, what you work on, et cetera. The higher up you get, the less of us it is, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The less Black women it is, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they are there. And so I think just seeing the representation or seeing that there are people who look just like us, whether mm-hmm. gender, whether color, that have attained those things, it shows you that it's not unattainable, right?
Right?
So that you can do it. So I would say it really just depends on what part you're working in, whether that's like production specifically or mm-hmm. working in the business aspect. But there is a lot of people who look just like us, and especially women who are running a lot of things here. And who I look to get counsel from and advice. So for sure, for sure.
That has to be so reassuring and just like reaffirming to see, especially coming, you know, considering your background and probably being in more male dominated spaces. So now making this transition to ESPN and seeing so many, you know, powerful women that are still kind of at the top. I feel like that has to kind of be give you some nice, validation for your future and everything.
Yeah, I think it's for my future, but it's not even always about my future. Right. It's about how I feel now. Like, can I see somebody who looks like me and I can talk to you and get wise counsel from you? I feel safe. I feel like I have a safe space, a person that I can trust here, that won't steer me the wrong way. But on top of that, important. I can come to you and you can understand what I mean because you've been a part of it probably 10 times over and maybe even worse, you know? So I think that the representation really shows me what I'm capable of, but it also just, it helps you when you're having a bad day. And you have somebody who literally understand what it means and they get it. And it's like, yes, I feel seen. Right. I feel heard. And so I think that those things are what's most important to me, especially when sometimes in meetings, always kind of, I'm the youngest person in the room, right? And things like that. And to know that, to have people who look like you to validate that your voice is important and that you're here for a reason and to show that the work that you put in right now will eventually pay off. It's just comforting. It makes it makes it feel more comfortable. You don't have to perform with them, right? No respectability politics and all of this professionalism and all of these things. Like you just feel at home and seen. So I think rather than the trajectory, it's just so important to feel like I have a safe space somewhere.
I hear you, especially when you say, you know, being the youngest person in the room, because in a lot of these spaces, I mean, even for me, we're in my current position, you know, being like one of the youngest reporters, especially being able to, you know, I was blessed enough to be able to start in a middle sized market and not, you know, somewhere small in the middle of nowhere. So I, you know, I'm coming right out of school. It's typically not, you know, when you think of the traditional journalism MMJ trajectory, you know, it's not as common. I guess things are kind of changing now through the years, but you know, we'd always hear that, you know, you got to start here, work your way up, which you know, I'm sure it's still the case, but I was thankful that Medill gave me that leg up in a way.
Yep.
So, but I, you know, I say all that to say is oftentimes I am also, you know, the youngest person in the room and it's hard to not compare and it's hard to not question like, well, dang, oh, my stuff doesn't look like this or like, you know, just I guess I've talked about this in previous episodes, but, you know, that imposter syndrome of being like you can't let that imposter syndrome seep in because, you know, you're where you are for a reason and you belong there. You belong in those spaces and you just have to make your voice feel heard and know that, you know, like you're saying, the validation, like that is just, that's just so important. So
yeah, it's so important. It's amazing. Like it actually is really, really so important. So that's been really good for my mental health here. Just having a black woman, a woman who wears her hair natural, just like me, like things where I can really see myself, you know, and know that I have a safe space. That's really, really crucial for me. And I think it's helped with my transition a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So what advice would you give, you know, maybe there is another like a mini you out there, someone trying to navigate or break their way into maybe the sports industry or maybe a more male dominated industry or anything like that. What advice do you have for a young woman trying to maybe follow in your footsteps?
Yeah. You know, I'm a bookworm, so I'm gonna get a little philosophical.
Oh, yeah, I know you are.
I just finished the Four Agreements and I'll give this advice. Let's like paint the scenario for someone specifically, right? Who's coming out of undergrad, grad school, whatever, and you're trying to make the decision about what's the perfect place for you? What's the perfect job for you? I don't think you can ever make the wrong decision because I think whatever decision you make, you're going to grow from it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think everything happens for a reason. So I want to like preface with that to give that reassurance. But in the introductory part of this book, he talks about how people are domesticated, right? And so our beliefs, the way we move, what we define as professionalism, what we think is okay, what's not okay, comes from what we learned in school, your parents' beliefs, what we were trained to do, and just how people, since your childhood, have poured into you what they felt like was right or wrong. And that has kind of built this view of your dream or your vision of what life should be and how you think things should be, right? And something that I wish I would have done more or better, was to sit back on myself and do the work a little bit and say, what do you want? I got so worked up after Medill and during that summer of trying to find a job because I had so many opinions. One person said this wasn't right. One person said I should do this. One person was like, but you'll be amazing on camera. Another person was like, but production, you make more money and you make decisions. And I was taking in so many opinions and it was just clouding my judgment.
Yeah.
And I should have been like, Anaya, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do? Not what worked for them. Not mm-hmm. what, you know, of course you should take people's advice, but take it with a grain of salt and never put it past what's truly in your heart more.
At the end of the day, right? Right? That's what's important.
Exactly. And I think a lot of my life and a lot of the accomplishments that I've had a lot of them, but it was constant and it was always box checking, right? Like, I was like, okay, I got that done. Okay, now that I got promoted to PA, let me do CA. And now mm-hmm. that I did this and I went to my deal and now, like, I was checking boxes and I was doing the right thing, but the right thing to who? Was it the right thing to professional standards or was it in my heart what I really wanted to do? And so my advice would just be like, search within yourself before you search for what other people have to say. And I think that gives you just some like, it clears the fog. It allows you to make a better decision for what you think you should do. Mm-hmm. And I would also say, Be honest. Sometimes, especially within the media industry, have the discernment to know how honest you should be with certain people. But what I mean is like, if this person is like, you would be great on camera and you absolutely don't want to do that. Like you literally know, just say you don't want to, you know, instead of just like, okay, maybe I should consider it because this person mm-hmm. said this, like, of right. course,
it's okay. If you know that's not what you want to do, then.
Exactly. So I would encourage people to stay true to themselves and just make sure that they have a true understanding of who they are and what they want to do first. And always do your best and always be curious. If you don't know, have no idea what you want to do, but you're amazing at what you do, more people will take heed of that and refer you to this and want you on their team because you're good at that, right? And just being curious, like asking questions, figuring out what other people do, just like exploring. And I think the more you explore, the more you discover what it is, the exact thing. So those would be my things. Like, be true to yourself, seek like your heart and know what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Always show up and do your best. Never ever give somebody a reason to say that you didn't show up well today. Always show up. And that will take you far because people will have nothing but great things to say about you no matter where you go. So yeah, that would be my advice for them.
I love that. No, it's definitely time for you to get back on your own podcast. But I hear you. And I feel like so, especially when you're young, we're coming out of school, we have all these decisions we're trying to make because we think so much that, you know, the decisions we make now are going to set us up for the rest of our lives, which to an extent, yeah. that is very true.
True.
But it's also taking into consideration just because of where you start, doesn't mean that's where you're going to end and that's yes. okay. But I think it's hard to, in the moment, you're not thinking like that. You're not thinking about, you're just trying to make all the right decisions. Like you said, you're trying to check all the boxes to make the right decision for the next step. And you're not yes. thinking long-term end goal. You know, you can do pivots, you can do career changes. You're not thinking of all that. You just want to make sure that you've made the right choice or, you know, you've listened, like you said, listening to all these outside people and you listened to them, you took their advice, you did this and they said I'm good at this. And it's like you really do have to block that out, because if it's clouding your judgment to decide, then I mean that's what's going to lead you to maybe making the decision that isn't right for you. And yes. that, like you said, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong decision, but it may just not be what's necessarily right for you.
Exactly. Yeah I think that's so real. And that was why it was tough for me. It was tough to make the decision and it was tough to be okay with the decision I made. That was really hard for me, like, to be okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now you made it, sit in it. And I sat in it, but I was like, I still don't know.
You still questioning.
Like, was this the correct thing to do? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the biggest thing. Just like really focusing on knowing things aren't fleeting and making mm-hmm. the decision that's best for you and not for anybody else. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think especially like if you're pursuing higher education and it's like, well, okay, I have a master's degree in this. Well, I have to stay on this path. And it's like, no, not necessarily. I mean, that's a stepping stone. You learned a lot. But what can you take from that experience and apply it to maybe if there is something else that you want to do? I feel like every chapter, every part of your life is combining to make those lived experiences that you continue to draw on no matter where you're at in your life and your career. And yes. Everything happens for a reason. So
yep, for sure. So that would be my advice. I think those are really important things to just know right now, because everything is nothing's permanent. Like, absolutely nothing's permanent right now. So I think it's really important just to do, like, what you really want to do. And I think that just brings you happiness and peace in the midst of chaos and transition in your 20s, that you really don't know what's going on. Like, if you know, like, well, this is what I want to do, and I have clear discernment about the fact that I am set, I think it just makes everything digestible. The ups, the downs, the trials, the good days, the bad days, it makes it digestible because you know that this is what I was meant to do, you know? So that would be my encouragement.
So do you think this is what you were meant to do right now?
I think so. I think that, I really do think so. Like, I'm spiritual, I believe in God, and I think that in the time that I spoke with his mentor, like I said, about I need a change and trying to figure myself out, I was kind of at my breaking point. I was in my breaking point with the position I was in, and I was, like, praying to God, like, God, what's going on? Like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm feeling this way, et cetera. And I went to her office because we have a every 2 month, like, check-in. On her schedule, we check in absolutely every 2 months. We have a meeting.
That's nice.
It just so happened that the day I went to her office and we had this check-in, and I was kind of like, all right, I need you to help me navigate, was the last day that this application opened for this job.
Wow.
And it's just, right? It's just like little things like that, right? And she's like, I think you should consider it. And I'm like, you think so? She's like, yeah, and I trust the counsel. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I figured out that was the last day it was open.
Wow.
And so, right, they had closed the application, opened it back up because more people wanted to apply. And the day I went to her office, the day she told me to apply, it was the last day that they had for that, you know? And to go through the process and be unsure. And then as I'm going through an interview and I'm like, and I'm doing those things, and it just felt like divine timing. You know, I was praying for a breakthrough. I went here. She suggested this. This was the last day. And now it's just been a great strategic move for me. And it's just better for my mental health, et cetera.
That's good.
And so, I do think this is what I should be doing right now. I don't think this is forever, but I think it's a very great strategic move and what God has for me right now to lead and just be better in the future. So, I think it's what I should be doing right now.
I love that. I'm so I'm so proud of you, too, because I remember that last quarter, that summer at Medill, and we're all just job hunting and saying, well, this and that, and looking at all these options, and just, oh my gosh. I mean, you ended up exactly where you needed to be and what was the best decision for you. Yeah. You're on your own path, your own journey. But I do want to ask, what are you chasing? Like, is there a dream job? Is there something that you're like, that is what I want to be? I know you want to make your own path. I do know that.
Yeah.
But is there something out there that you're like, this is what I'm working towards?
That's a really good question. I think that I'm discovering that a little bit more. I'm redefining that. I will not say discovering. I'm redefining what dream job is for me. I know that there are qualities of what I want my future to look like. I know that I want to be a leader. I know that I want to decision make. I know that I want to run things. I know that.
You're the boss.
Right? Like, and not in a way of like, I just want to tell these people what to do. Mm-hmm. But I really just want to make this industry better in whatever way possible, right? And innovate and lead and make those decisions. So I know that's in my future. Mm-hmm. I know that. I just think all I can define right now is that it's leadership. And in what capacity I want to lead, I'm not sure yet. But I know that it's leadership. And I know that I want to get back to having these meaningful conversations, right, with my own platform and kind of building that bigger. I know those things are my two pillars. And I just need to figure out what does leading in terms of what department, what trajectory, is it here, is it somewhere else? Is it this industry? I have to figure that out. But I do know that leadership is for sure my future.
Yeah, and you don't have to have that figured out right now, you know? Yeah. That's okay. You know what you'll be looking for. And when the time comes to make the next step or the next pivot, you know the things that are in the back of your mind that you're like, okay, well, I'm looking for this and this, and I know I want this. And that's really all you need to have as a blueprint or as a foundation to get you to that dream job, exactly. right? That dream position. Yeah. So I yeah. completely get it. Mm-hmm. So to kind of wrap things up, Anaya, this podcast is called Where You At? We're talking about real life experiences of people navigating where they're at, the spaces they're in, and where they're going. So when you look around at everything you've accomplished to this point, I mean, undergrad, your master's, ESPN, your podcast along the way, moving away from home, where are you at?
I'm discovering. I'm discovering and I'm growing right now. I think that's the biggest thing. I think where I'm at is I am uncomfortable, which means that I'm growing.
Yes, growth happens outside of your comfort zone.
It happens so far outside of my comfort zone. And so I think that where am I at? I'm uncomfortable. I'm learning a lot. And I think that where I'm also at is I'm evolving personally. I am really defining what my dreams are outside of work. What is my dream? I would like to have financial freedom. I want to focus on those things and I want to invest and I want to go towards all of those things. And so I think right now it's just like growth and evolution personally and professionally. And but I'm optimistic and I know that where I'm at is rooted in where I should be. Like where I'm at is where I should be. So I would say that. Yeah.
Heavy on that part. And you are amazing. Your mindset is just so inspiring. I mean, not only for me, but I know for so many other people out there. I just think you are just going to be, you already are, but you're going to be just such a powerhouse in this industry and grow and continue to build, you know, what it is that you're going to have of your own. Oh my gosh, I just see nothing but success in your future. I mean, you're already doing amazing things. Thank you so much for coming on my Where You At podcast. I'm so honored to be, you know, sitting and talking with you.
Cut it out. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. And this is really good. Like, I think we got to start talking about more about how we feel. Social media can make you seem like everything is perfect. And you may feel the same way as me, and we may need to lean on each other. So kudos on you for launching this podcast, but also just having a safe space for people our age, especially in young professionals, to feel heard. So that's really good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, girl. And that's really why I wanted to start this, because, you know, not only for myself, but to have a platform for those people. And the hardest part was to just get started. I just had to do it and get all those thoughts out of my head and, you know, just do it. Right. Once I get started, it's only up from there. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Of course. That's it for this episode of Where You At. And a big thanks to Anaya for just keeping it real and sharing what it's like navigating the world of sports media. So don't forget to follow the show for more stories about presence, purpose, and growth. I'm Taylor Anthony. Thanks for listening. And as always, keep showing up where you're at.